The following podcast is for mature audiences only, so hey, look, if you're under 18, just turn it off, okay?
Do you know the secrets of making friends? They are so simple and easy. Well, that looks easy enough, and Joey is going to try it out.
Wait, what was that?
I'm not going to sniff your cock if we're recording.
Oh, okay.
Hi, guys. It's Miss Jenga.
This is Freckles.
I'm Captain Jack.
And we are here today to talk a little bit about BDSM.
BDSM?
BDSM. Bondage, discipline. And the D stands for two things, dominance. And then S is for submission or sadomasochism. And
the M is for masochism.
Sorry, M is for masochism.
It's not just spanking, right?
It's not just for spankers anymore.
That's right.
That's right. But let's get started with the important stuff.
Please.
I brought a drink today.
Ah, sweet.
Hit me up.
It's not Fireball. I know you're sad.
Yay.
I know you're sad.
Yay.
All right.
You so like Fireball.
So sad.
I know that you, Freckles, like Jameson's and Ginger.
I do.
So I did a little modification. I have a delicious Knob Creek Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 100 proof, small batch, aged 9 years.
Good stuff.
It is. I like it. I like to drink it straight up. But today we're going to mix it with a little ginger ale.
Oh, sweet.
For the breakfast of champions.
A highball, I believe is what it's called.
Highball.
Yum, yum, yes. Yum, yum, yum.
Do your balls hang high?
Kind of mediocre. Somebody asked me that last night, actually. How low do your balls hang?
Oh. There we go. Opening the bottle.
Just a
All
touch.
All right, just a touch.
No shaker.
No shaker. Here you go. Yeah, because that flattens the bubbles in the ginger ale.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to go more with stirred, not shaken on my dark and stormies and my other beverages.
I do have to stir it with my pinky, though.
Yeah, there you go. Just stick a pinky in.
Just a tip.
Just the tip. Mm-hmm. Just the tip.
Just a little bit there.
Any adventures this week, guys? Anything you guys want to talk about?
We're going to go right into that, huh?
Why not? Let's make it happen. I had a fun adventure.
You first.
I played with cupcakes.
Oh.
Wow, thanks for bringing that one.
Just thought I'd let you know. I don't like to hide shit.
Actually, I recall her saying something about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get the full details, though.
Well, we had the yurt open, and I turned the yurt into a little BDSM play area periodically, and I start people out with very, very light intros so they can go around to different stations, and then it was open for kind of free play. So I serve as the dungeon mistress and make sure everybody's behaving and being safe and having a good time, and I was doing some electric play, showing people how that works, and
no, never electric play. No, I think I got shocked way too many times as a kid.
Yeah,
or something. I have a complete aversion to it.
They say that either accidents like that become either fetishes or fears. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much prescribe to that theory. Because I've seen a lot of people that are like you. Oh, hell no, I'm not even going to try it because I got shocked. And then there's people like me that are like, oh, yeah, used to play with electric fences when I was a kid out in the country. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Pee on one?
That actually doesn't work. Mythbusters dispelled that
myth. Oh,
that's
right. I saw that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't actually make the full circuit. So you can pee with freely. You can pee freely.
Not solid.
Correct.
Correct.
Correct. So it doesn't, conduct. Correct. Conduct. But yeah, so she got up on my table and we had some fun. I also do it a little bit differently. Like a lot of people just jack it up to the highest setting and then shock people, and that's I don't agree with that. Yeah. Especially if somebody hasn't had it before, so I always do a big education piece of this is how it feels. It can be tingly, it can be more
You're
like a
gentle
massage.
For a first timer.
I always am. Yeah, absolutely. It don't want to scare people off. It's about
second time it's on.
Right, exactly.
So our first time, will you be gentle?
No.
Wait.
Yep.
There we go.
Cracker stays with Jack.
Oh, we didn't even make it, what, 5 minutes?
Cracker.
That sounds like that was a... You were waiting for that one, weren't you? Waiting for my opening. My opening is here. Oh!
Not really.
Okay.
I'll let you think that, though.
Talking about, I got to get it back this week.
He had it last week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think it was yours.
Okay.
I don't think I've had it for a while, but maybe. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let's go to the tape.
Let's go to the tape.
Sorry, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Fuck.
Yeah.
Blurg.
Woohoo.
Anyway, yeah. BDSM.
I'm in a room full of non-football fans, but that doesn't matter. I love you anyways.
Sports ball. Whatever.
Go Hawks. And that's the end of that.
Thank you.
I'll be done. I need sports to get it
comment.
Out.
Sports and comment. I'm done now.
Yes. Although last night you did sport your Seahawks colors.
I cannot believe you're outing me.
It was so awesome.
No.
It was so awesome.
No, it was not. That was under duress for a party theme. My boundaries were not respected.
Captain Jack, she made me go to a store and buy a shirt for her so she would have one special.
Because awesome. I forgot my crap.
I love you so much more now.
Fuck off. Oh, my God. So I played with Cupcake as well as a couple other people. I think everybody had good experiences. One guy got a little overwhelmed, and I usually try and set up protocol with people. Protocol is like the guidelines of your personal boundaries. And I set up some protocol with a guy and, you know, said, okay, if you get overwhelmed, just either raise your hand or say stop, and I'll stop.
He cried uncle?
He didn't. He just got really overwhelmed, and I picked up on it, and I'm like, you're done. Mm-hmm. You're done. So that was an interesting experience.
Such a good dungeon mistress.
He had a good time, though. He did say that he had a good time, and he enjoyed exploring it. And then there's other people that keep coming back to my table, regardless of what I'm doing. So last time I did wax play, which was a lot of fun. And I operate more, and this is a BDSM 101, so this is not, we're not going to get into anything that's going to hopefully make y'all squicky. It's just kind of talking
there
about.
There is different levels of BDSM.
Absolutely. Yes. And the funny thing is that a lot of people are already engaging in it and they don't even know, you know.
There is, in fact, a large undercurrent of, I'm finding out more that there's people who think, well, I'm not kinky. I'm just weird. So, you know, I don't want you to flog me. But, you know,
Freckles, you're both.
Spank me with a hairbrush.
Right.
Because it's not a purpose-built toy for that specific item. So no paddles.
Okay.
But a hairbrush is awesome.
Okay.
It's like, that's kink. It's not kink. It's weird. Okay. Whatever helps you sleep, lady. That's awesome.
Nice. But BDSM can also be sensual play, too.
Oh, yes.
So it's I had a station set up a couple months ago where it was just a bag full of like feather boas, silk flowers. I had some actually bamboo skewers in there and like Mardi Gras beads.
What did you do with the skewers?
So the skewers, so I'll take like three of them and put them in between my knuckles on my hand and then
like
just
Wolverine
gently.
Claws.
Wolverine claws. And then I'll just gently stroke people's backs with them or their nipples or whatever. And
yes,
I made,
please.
Right? And I made a girl come just from doing that. So that was fun. And she had not all of her clothes on. She was topless, but she had most of her clothes on. So that was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun. But I think there's a misnomer that it's just all about whips and chains and leather masks.
That is a huge, that's a huge misunderstanding.
Well, it comes from, where it came from originally was the early 80s, late 70s, mostly homosexual.
Oh, see, that's a huge misnomer too. Marquis de Sade. Marquis de Sade in France. That's where sadomasochism, the word masochism,
comes how it
comes
started
from.
In the U.S., wasn't that where it kind of got
It's where it started
wheels?
To come into public consciousness.
Yeah,
but it's been around
actually
for a long
Betty Page is considered to be one of the first crossovers from Pinup Girl to more. She has more BDSM photos and stuff like that. Like there's photos of her being, you know, in bondage photos. And the bondage is, you know, rope and can be chains, handcuffs.
There's photographs going back into the 1800s of bondage play and beating horseplay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess we're getting kind of off the basics.
We don't have to get into it, but we can touch on it.
Certainly. Okay.
Zap. But it became, I guess, more commercialized with the leather daddy stuff, mm-hmm. I think is what mm-hmm. you're thinking of.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. And there were clubs opening in San Francisco and that type of thing. So yeah, it definitely became more mainstream, but that wasn't the beginning of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I was thinking how it became popular.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, cause the gays make everything popular. Duh.
They just make everything more fun.
Right?
Yeah.
With sunshine and glitter and just being out there. I love it. Hey, I just got to spend 3 days with my gay boy on a boat. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what kind, you talked a couple episodes ago about your dip in
intro
the pool.
And, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll summarize. So it was a weekend, Memorial Day weekend, I think it was last year, and lots of BDSM kink themed stuff going on in the club. It was a 3 day weekend. Sunday rolled around. When I first went to the weekend, I was like, wow, these guys are weird. I don't know why anybody would ever like this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Putting up on a cross, getting whipped, lots of pain, wasn't really into it. Oddly enough, I had always liked nipple clamps.
Hmm.
So maybe that was a start of things. And then I was like, well, let's try this. Because after 3 days of being submerged into this whole thing, and I saw lots of good positive results.
Yeah.
Well, there must be a...
Like
appeal
what,
here.
What kind of positive results did you see?
Lots of smiles afterwards. Just
people mellow, laid back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did you talk to those people? What happened?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What did they describe to you?
Just release. Just let go. To when you spend your life, most of your life, in control of everything, making all the decisions, it's a way that they can just let go and not have to do anything or just take commands instead of giving them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their avenue to do that. And it becomes a very kinky thing for them. And after talking to everybody that weekend and being around it all weekend long, and then I knew a particular girl that was interested in trying that.
Okay.
That we talked and let's do this. And so went out into this very building that we're sitting in right now. In fact, I'm sitting at probably the spot that it happened, right
nice.
Here.
We set that up special for you, Captain Jack.
Well, thank you. Yep. It was a cross, and there was two sided. It was double sided.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody else on the other side, and they had a dungeon master that was overseeing everything, making sure, because there was a lot of just new people doing this.
Right,
this was not veterans. They're seasoned veterans doing this, and apparently I drop really quick.
And what does drop mean?
Drop means, wow, how do I define that? Help me out, Freckles.
Okay.
Define that for me.
Let me go get my flogger. So drop is the condition that a sub will get into.
What's a sub?
Oh, well, come on. I'll get there. All right, so let's start.
I dislike interviews where people just go over these jargon
point
terms.
Taken.
I know.
And people don't understand,
right,
and I think
so
it's bullshit.
Let's start at the top.
All right.
Okay, so there's the top or the dom. That's the person that's in control of the scene, ostensibly. They're the person that is wielding the flogger, wielding the
feathers.
The feathers, wielding the paddle or the beads or whatever it is that's causing the sensation. Now, I say ostensibly because the sub, the bottom, the person who's being beaten or tickled or flogged or whatever it is actually the person who set the boundaries for the scene.
Right.
So they say very clearly in the setup, and this is something that people who are new to this really need to understand, the bottom is the person who sets the boundaries. You can do this. You may not do that. The top is the person who respects at all costs those boundaries.
We had a very long conversation prior to me going through with this.
And everybody should. And a lot of people who get into BDSM or not really dabble, but like look at it from the outside and are afraid to get into it, are afraid to put themselves into a situation where someone else has that control, where they're like, well, if I say I want to get beat and somebody beats me and then they hurt me, then I'm hurt. But the top's job is to make sure that those boundaries are respected, that they stay within the parameters that are set up beforehand. So talking and communicating is one of the most important things in BDSM, even more so than the pain or the pleasure or whatever that comes out of it. So good communication is paramount. So you have your top, you have your bottom. Where was I starting before?
Dropping.
Okay. So a lot of times what the sub is looking for is the drop. And that is the feeling that you've essentially disconnected from yourself a little bit. You pull back and you are not floating above or watching or anything like that, but you're still definitely still inside your body.
So it's a state of euphoria.
It is a state of euphoria. It's kind of like
natural high.
Kind of like being high. It's a definite endorphin rush. Mm-hmm. Lots of dopamine just squirted into your brain liberally.
Right.
And it lasts. It can last, you know, it can take a long time to get there, depending mm-hmm. on your connection with the top or your connection with the scene or your connection with what's happening. It can take a very short amount of time. There are subs that you touch them in one specific way. You give them a couple of, you know, touches and a couple of words, and boom, they're in that. And then the scene plays out. And then it's the top's responsibility to bring the sub back out of the
euphoric state.
Aftercare.
Yeah, it's part of the aftercare.
So what is a scene? Describe to me what you guys have experienced in scenes.
What is a scene? A scene is the activity that a top and bottom are doing at that particular time. And mm-hmm. it is something that has a definite beginning when you start, when the sub releases and decides to become a sub for that dom.
Sure. And that can occur either just by an action mm-hmm. from the dom or the sub, mm-hmm. You know, being put up in, being in rope if they like bondage. It can be, you know, laying down on a bed if you're mm-hmm. doing sensual play. It can be removing clothing, or it could be putting on a collar or leather cuffs or anything like that. So it's almost like a curtain opening if you're seeing a theater mm-hmm. production.
Yeah.
In the end is when the aftercare basically is where I can see the beginning and the end of the scene is that whole taking place. And it's just the two, or I guess you could have three or four or five, whatever, but it's typically what I've seen and what I've experienced, two people, sub and dom. And that culmination to when you start the aftercare, you come out of that endorphin natural high thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as a scene, as calling it a scene, I guess it's because if there's other people there, I define this. I never understood the origin of calling it a scene.
I'm not sure why it's called a scene. However, a scene essentially is a bubbled environment. If there is a scene going on in the BDSM community, that is respected. You don't interrupt. You don't talk. You don't say, "Hey, what kind of flog are you using there?" Mm-hmm. Or, you know, how does it feel? You know, what do you, does your arm hurt if you have your finger looped through that, or, you know, that
just
kind of stuff?
You don't interrupt. Get up and interrupt in a play,
right? Because it's they're together. They are communicating with each other verbally and physically, and the people who are watching are allowed to watch, but they're not allowed to interact. In some more advanced scenarios, they can, but that's a different thing. But it's basically the two or so, you know, whatever the group is that's having the scene, that's their thing, and it's their play space, and you got to stay clear of the swing.
Well, because you don't want to get hurt, first of all, and second of all, it can fuck with people's heads, because doms get into a space of total concentration.
Yeah, so it's a respect issue as well. So if you've got a scene going on, or people are scening, as it's sometimes said, you leave them alone. You don't.
Is that like antiquing?
No.
I hate it when they turn a noun into a verb.
There's a lot of talk in antiquing. just as there's a lot of talk. Actually, so that's a good. There's a good kind of crossover there. So in the swing community, interruption is
paramount.
Is part of the game.
Yeah.
So the idea that you can be playing with, you know, unless you've set up a specific boundary, like we have curtains on the cubbies. If a curtain is closed, you don't stick your head in and go, "Hey, what's going on?"
Unless you're a dick.
Unless you're a complete dick.
Well, don't stick your dick in there.
Well, also that. But if you're on an open bed, then people coming up to you and saying, "Hey, can we join you?" is acceptable behavior. BDSM, the curtain is drawn. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's it. They're scening. There's a curtain there.
The other thing I found, too, that's really interesting is that we do have some people that are are pretty heavy into the BDSM scene. And that was their first foyer into any kind of group play, group scenarios, that type of thing. And I've talked to some people that got into that in the 90s. And, you know, you're right. It was the 80s when the leather daddy thing was pretty hot and heavy. So the 90s was like the first wave of straight people or more vanilla adventuring into that scene. And they are shocked at how the high protocol of BDSM and negotiating every little thing. And then people in the swing community are like pretty much, okay, this is my no-no place. And other than that, everything goes, right?
No place. Oh, my no-no place.
Well, you know, some people don't like it in the butt. Some people don't like, you know, their hair grabbed and a dick shoved in their mouth.
Their
right. But in BDSM, if you are seeking out a submissive or a dom and they're not willing to talk to you about it, that's a no-go. That's a red flag.
Right.
And one of the things that's currently pissing me off is the 50 Shades of Bullshit book that's out that they're about to release a movie out of. So I wanted to have this conversation now because that's getting released in a couple weeks. So please, if you go see that movie, know that it is just bullshit.
Yep.
That's an abusive story.
I haven't read the book or seen it, but what I've heard is there's not really any consent.
No.
Involved.
So no, it's domestic violence, essentially.
Yeah. Before we get a little bit farther, there is a very specific type of erotic fiction that 50 Shades of Grey is.
It's 50 Shades of Bullshit.
It is a non-consensual fantasy play. However, I get it. However, it is not in any way, shape, or form advertised that way.
Right.
So
right.
Basically, you're correct. It is domestic violence on a scale. It's rape on a scale. It's fucked up on a huge scale.
And I guess what I'm saying that unless
specific genre of erotic fiction that it is, but
sure,
it's not that.
But that's also not mainstream the way that book's become. It's the twilight of BDSM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
The character is one-dimensional. Anybody can transpose themselves in that situation.
And vampires aren't made out of diamonds.
I think the thing that's going to be that's most upsetting about that is that there's people that are going to get fucking hurt,
mm-hmm,
really bad.
Yeah,
and it's going to take off the BDSM community that has seen huge numbers coming in. People that want to explore,
yeah,
and that's great. However, they also seem to be coming in and wanting to explore having non-consensual things done to them. Which is fine, except that they don't seem to understand that that's not what it's about on a basic level. You don't step into a non-consensual scene on your first night.
Well, you can, yeah. You can, but you shouldn't.
But, right.
You should not.
I don't think that there's a... All right. Let me see if I can very carefully. I don't know that there's a dom out there who would do that for someone on their first... Hi, your first time here? Excellent. Right. What would you
right,
like?
But there's a lot of
I
abusers.
Would like a bad dom.
There's a lot of abusers out there that would and
that
say that
true.
They're a dom.
That is true.
That's the difference.
Yes.
And there are...
That's going to
so
fuck things up for a lot of people.
Just to give resources, one, if you're interested either in becoming a dub... A sub, or I was combining
bow,
the
wow,
two.
Bow,
a dub.
Bow,
no,
bow,
a dub.
Bow, bow.
Dom or sub.
Bow.
Just made it up. If you're interested in becoming a sub, if you're interested in becoming a sub or a dom, a submissivesjourney.com is a really good website to submissivesguide.com. submissiveguide.com. And it has like checklists you can go over with your potential partner. It's got a lot of really great articles. It starts from the very beginning and just kind of takes you through, and it's got kind of a wiki on it so you can, you know, just search topics or toys or whatever. If you want to read about the old guard history, origins, and traditions, they did not go as far back as Mr. Freckles and I did. However, evilmonk.org talks about what you were saying, which is the leather and gay community and how BDSM became streamlined. It actually came from the military. I just briefly read.
Really?
Yeah. So World War II, it was the first homosocial situation that a lot of men had been in, and they came back to the States in 46, 47 and started finding other people that they could play with, and that evolved into the leather scene.
Wow.
Yeah, so there you go. Now I'm done with my smarty pants thing.
Vast bucket of useful knowledge.
Bullshit is what.
I was going to be nice.
Yeah. That's okay. So, personal experiences, I have more proclivities of doing dom work and than I do.
Don't you fashion yourself as a kind of a dominatrix?
Maybe. I mean, it's.
I've never seen that side of you, but.
Yeah.
I sense it's there.
You sense it's there?
Yes.
Could you handle the truth? Well, if you'd ever played with me, maybe you'd know.
Okay, it goes back to you.
Here, no, once per show. Once per show.
We don't trade it. We don't trade it.
It's mine.
Yeah. So it's interesting to me how many guys want to be dominated. There's a misnomer that, you know, all subs are women and all doms are guys, and that's just not true.
But it makes sense because, generally speaking, guys are more dominant in our society. We have
it's cultural conditioning, it's in my cultural, opinion.
Yeah, very right. much so. And women are more subservient to a point. You know, if you
oh, that's a look. Wow! Ouch!
Not you.
I know you. I'm beside that look, well. And it's ouchy.
But generally,
damn.
Then how about we not say women in general?
So shit. In this.
Turn the mic off, Mr. Freckles. Nope.
No. This is gold. I'm taking care of this shit.
So in this kink, you're able to switch it, and the natural switch is the guy to be sub and the girl to be dom.
And there are people that are both submissive and dom, and those are called switches, interestingly yes. enough. So thanks for bringing up that term.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of people that, you know. It, for me, here at the club, it's 50-50, but when I get propositioned, it's always by men. Mm-hmm. It's always by men for that kind of play. Personally, I really like to be dominated. And I had a couple experiences when I was much younger and did a whole lot of research, did a lot of domination play where I was more dominant and or controlling the scene, whatever. And how was that for you, Freckles? Was that fun?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked long and hard for somebody that I trusted. I did tastings with some really great professionals here in Seattle to kind of explore what
Define
I might like.
Tastings.
Thank you. Tastings are very, very small scenes. There aren't a lot of boundaries set. It's usually in a public area, typically a club or an education center like CSPC here in Seattle, which is the Center for Sex Positive Culture. They do a tremendous amount of education and classes 7 days a week. And it's a good place to, it's kind of like a level two. So there are some places that are very light on BDSM play. I like here at New Horizons, I do a lot of sensual domination. For example, like I was talking about the feathers and the flowers and Mardi Gras beads and, you know,
candy necklaces around my collar.
That was a dominant scene, actually.
Let's also not overlook the hand.
Yeah, I'm going to get into that in just a little bit because that's more impact play. So I'm starting out with sensual BDSM.
I'm just talking about
stroking and stuff like that with, and some people that can be even more intimate. Mm-hmm. So that's true. I would almost consider that a level two. Oh. So by using the toys and household objects like a silicone basting brush is really sexy feeling on your skin. But the key to that is what makes that domination instead of just 9.5 weeks is, which was a movie in the 80s in case you were born in the 80s and didn't see that along with your Sesame Street. but it can also be, you know, food play, that type of thing. But I put a blindfold on them. So they don't know what's coming next. And there's a level of trust and titillation there. So people know me from around the club. They're comfortable with me. They know that I'm very clear about boundaries. And I'll intervene in conversations sometimes if I see someone pushing too hard for whatever and say, did you ask? You know, have you had this conversation? And also the edutainment that I set up here with Truth or Dare and Spin the Bottle and stuff is actually getting people to be able to express their physical boundaries and speak it out loud. So mm-hmm. that's a critical piece, and that's something that we're constantly doing here at Club and helping people communicate, because we're not raised in a culture where openly talking about your needs, regardless of what they are, is acceptable, because Absolutely. You're just supposed to power through and work and work and work. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece is we're not supposed to talk about sexuality at all. We have Barbie doll genitals down there. I don't know if you noticed this, but there's nothing. It's just, I have imprinted underpants under my pants. I don't actually have a vagina.
That's right. That's right. I have a bump.
Right. You've got a Ken doll bump. Yep. And that's how, America had their way, that's how it would be, you know, just because of how we've been ingrained in our culture. And it wasn't always like that. I mean, I was just reading an article not too long ago about how they've found writings and whatnot in from Greece, that women were so dominant and so sexually aggressive that the men were the ones that would constantly have to say no. And the men were the ones that would say, oh, no, not tonight, honey, I have a headache. So that's only, 5,000 years ago? That's not...
Not even that long.
Yeah, that's not a whole long time ago. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
If you had to say no?
If you had to say no all the time?
If somebody
so up on your joystick that you couldn't, yeah.
Yeah. Look, stop renting an apartment on my dick.
Five times today already, I think. No, I got to say no to number six.
Oh. Oh.
So if you look through our history, women have been subjugated into submission. Yes. It's not a natural existence for us to be submissive
Correct.
At all, which is why, me being more of a dominant personality, I looked long and hard for somebody to dominate me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And the crowd goes quiet.
Right. Everybody's got their dominate cap me. On.
It went quiet.
Yeah. Take it. There are no that. Takers in this room.
Could I could I dominate her?
No.
It's true.
Yeah.
You probably know me too well.
No, that's not it at all.
Not in a BDSM fashion. I could not dominate you. No.
In other ways.
So what other?
Yeah, you mm-hmm. think so?
Yeah, I could.
Hmm. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting. I'm intrigued now.
Talk more about this, Captain Jack.
No, it's the BDSM
okay.
podcast.
No. All right.
Another time. I don't think we should talk about it until it happens.
Oh.
Well, that's true.
And remember what we agreed to. I've been re-listening the podcast. And it was going to be recorded.
Why are you going to
be recorded.
Right. What is?
You agreed for it to be recorded.
Uh-huh.
You Our did. First time.
What?
Your first time.
No. We're gonna separate I said recorder. No such thing.
You did?
You didn't object.
Let's go to the tape.
You were freaked out about it.
Uh-huh.
I could tell you freaked out, but you did not overtly come out and say no.
Right.
I was much younger then. I didn't know what I was saying.
Yeah. It's amazing what a month does to you.
Oh, my God. Well, you can do a lot of growing in a month.
Yeah. You can.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my experience, and we kind of got off track in being dominated and being flogged. It was very light. It was nothing that I've personally seen.
Sure.
Some extreme stuff. And it first of all, it was somebody I trusted, absolutely trusted.
Sure.
And it has to be. And even though it was pretty much one of her first times doing it, the dungeon master was always there. So I knew there was somebody overseeing.
Uh-huh.
And so there was a sense of trust there that I was able to just let go like sure. I had never before.
Nice.
And 24 hours prior, I wouldn't have thought twice of doing this.
And you got flogged, right?
Yeah.
And did it feel like I enjoy flogging. I'm not into the beat me until I'm raw bleeding thing. Mm-hmm. It's more like a massage.
I was not marked afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was lots of red tender areas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I was not, you know, there was no. I might have been a little bruised, but
sure.
Nothing that would have scarred or anything, or blistered.
Right.
So sting or thud for flogging?
Yes, please.
Okay. You?
Thud.
Yeah, thud for me as well.
Yeah. So
some sting right at the very end.
So different toys can produce different.
Yeah.
sensations. Mm-hmm. And soft leather floggers, which are just, they look almost like a mop head. Mm-hmm. And you can actually use a mop head, too. I saw somebody pull that out of their toy
I
bag.
I might mm-hmm. have a preference, but having only done this twice so far.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, okay, whatever.
Okay.
I haven't hit it enough to have a preference. There was a second time.
Okay.
And that happened about a week ago.
Nice. CSBC. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, we went to like a little clinic that somebody knew person that was going to be down there, and it was just actually just a private little group, and he brought out his toy bags, and wow. This guy,
bags? Multiple?
Three suitcases.
Nice.
Yeah. And even Sibian.
Mm-hmm.
Had one of those, pulled one of those out, and I mean, he had all sorts of toys.
So Sibian is a saddle type apparatus that has different dildo attachments that you can put on it. Mm-hmm. It also vibrates.
A woman squats over it. I guess a guy could squat over it too.
Yeah. Because, they've got little anal mm-hmm. probes that are like the size of a pinky.
The dildo part of it moves up and down mm-hmm. and then circles too. Or no, not up down. It circles and vibrates. Mm-hmm. I think it was not up and down.
Not up and down.
But women go crazy. I've seen
can.
It a couple times.
I was okay on it.
Wow.
We had one set. We have a member who periodically brings in her set because she's got a fuck machine and called the Red Devil and a Sibian. God damn it, you got me saying it wrong now.
You're welcome.
Anyway, so they set it up on the balcony, and we had a covered area around it, so it was a separate play area. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, I leaned into it apparently a little too hard and made the entire balcony vibrate.
Yes. So much so that the band that was playing thought that their instruments were feeding back.
So they stopped the music.
What the fuck is going on? Oh my God.
Shut the party down.
Leave it to Jenga.
Right.
It's just
she
Jenga.
Starts the party and she shuts it down.
I'm Skibby.
I have the power. You guys both came into the lifestyle relatively vanilla. Would you say that's correct?
Yes.
Or what you perceived as vanilla?
No, I was fairly lifestyle-ish before I came to the club. I had some adventures.
Right, but did you know that it was the lifestyle and that it was swingerhood and the whole...
This club?
No, your lifestyle prior to it. Or were you just slutty? Because I always just thought I was a slut.
I knew I had issues with jealousy. Not issues, I shouldn't say issues, but the lack of feeling of jealousy inside of me, and I've always thought about maybe this is something that would appeal to me,
okay,
and I would actually be able to thrive in. And I've had some prior to the club, had some encounters, half dozen
mm-hmm.
of multi-partnered,
sure,
girl I'm seeing her getting fucked by another guy,
right,
and loving it, and that was really cool. And so coming into this front door, I'm like, this might be kind of cool.
Right.
I was all on board to be a part of it.
Except you thought we were freaks.
I did think you were freaks.
That's okay.
Yes.
Right. Weirdos.
And I might, that opinion might not have changed with you, Jenga.
I agree. It shouldn't. And I'm glad because the message has been delivered. So, so there's a misnomer that either you're vanilla or into kink. And frankly, unless you're just having missionary sex flat on your back.
There's so much gray. You're not one or the other. There's so much gray. It's a sliding scale.
No, it's... Don't bring up that word.
Not shades of gray. It's... You know what I mean.
I know.
Shut up.
But there's all different levels of it. So, particularly with BDSM, there's some people that just like dressing up in the clothes. Mm-hmm. The fishnet, it's like... It's like industrial goth almost, mm-hmm. The black leather. Black leather.
Chaps.
Boots. Chaps.
Steampunk with more windows.
Oh man, it was funny. So when I was on the cruise, there was a chick that saw, because I have like these little leather studded cuffs that I wear, and they're just for fashion. Like they don't have any meaning
little
to me.
Pyramid
as far
spikes
as,
on them.
Yeah. It was so funny. She came running out of this bar on the ship, and she goes, "Oh my God, are you like kinky? Are you a swinger?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And she goes, "Oh, I knew it! I knew it!" And I was like, "What the fuck? Like, it? Do I I don't have my sweatshirt
on. You radiate it.
Apparently I did. She was drawn.
Swinger aura to you.
Do I? Is that what it is? What color is my swinger aura?
It's a chartreuse.
Chartreuse. That's a gross color, dude. That's like baby diaper yellow. You have to rename that. I'll come back to you.
Sit in the corner and think about it.
Yeah. See that bench over there? I need you to bend over that.
No. Yes. I'm not giving you clearance to don me. You don't get that.
Maybe you don't have a choice.
I do have
a choice.
His
panties fell off. Oh my God, Jenga, his panties fell off.
Wait, who put panties on me?
I did.
Boom.
Did something happen last night that I didn't know? What'd you do to me in my sleep?
No, I'm just, I am teasing you. I am teasing you. I very seldom make you do things you don't want to do.
I always
and
do
that,
them.
And that's actually...
I accept your commands, usually.
And I accept yours. Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah.
We've had a couple throwdowns, and I appreciate you. Yeah, so I think that's a misnomer that either you're vanilla or you're kinky. So she came out and, like, squeed, and I said, well, yeah, I do some dominatrix work. And I consider what I do here at Club very light dominatrix. Very, very light. It's way more sensual play, and that's pretty much what we're about here. Sensual play is totally allowed up in the play areas. We do open the yurt. We call it the Erotic Arts Dungeon, or the Erotic Arts Play Area. House of Fun.
Whichever.
Sometimes we call it the fetish fun house for Halloween, that type of thing. And we do allow impact play out there, but we don't allow that up in the satellite except for light spanking. So impact play can range anywhere from just light little spanks on the butt all the way to flogging. And some people are into some pretty, what other folks would consider violent, you know, punching, kicking, that type of thing. But that can be very triggering for people. So we're not gonna get into that.
Yeah.
But I obviously, you guys got to hear my birthday party story, so you know that I like the spankings.
Mm-hmm. I know you like the spankings.
And you know, it's interesting to me the kind of spankings that I don't like. I've had some experiences where people just wind up and fucking wail.
Yeah.
And they don't warm up my butt, so you would do caressing and maybe some little light nail scratching.
You don't do
just
that.
To...
You're missing half the fun,
right?
Because... Don't just lay into your hand. What's no?
Yeah. So
touch,
if you
feel,
yeah,
rub,
caress the ass, caress the buttocks,
own that butt.
Mm-hmm.
A little grabby, grabby,
and then nice right. little spank right there.
Yeah.
And then rub it out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And different implements have different feels to them too. Like you can spank somebody with one of my favorite spanking paddles.
Hurt but not harm.
Well, I have a favorite spanking paddle that's like a flexible, or I've had one used on me that's a flexible leather paddle, and it's shaped like a beaver tail, and then on one side it's got rabbit fur, and on the other side it's just a leather piece. And that
nice.
So it's really nice and it feels good.
You know, like you know, like the one that your favorite isn't the one that's like the little flip-flop shaped thing?
No, that thing fucking hurts. That hurts. That stings, and that's mean, and
oh,
no.
That's my favorite.
Oh, I bet it is.
For you.
It has not done anything for my sassy mouth, though.
Da, 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 da. Whop!
It has a nice do about that mouth?
I don't know. People keep trying to stick things in it to get me to shut up, and it doesn't work.
Just talks around it.
You work well with something in your mouth.
Wouldn't you like to find
out?
Or
so
out?
I've heard.
So you just keep... You totally earned the Jack Cracker today.
Yeah, I'm full of it.
Fucking hurt, dude. Yeah, you earned that. Yeah, so there's all different flavors. It's not anything that anyone should define for you either. It's your thing. And once you find someone to explore with, whether you're dominant or submissive, it's all about what you want to try. And if you don't know... There's checklists on the submissivesguide.com that can show you. It's a crazy list. There was some stuff that I was like, oh, hell no way. And when you see it in writing, it also gives you ideas for what you might want to explore, too.
And sometimes you have to take a no thank you bite.
Yeah.
A no thank you bite.
Yes, exactly. So try something.
A no thank you tasting.
A tasting. If you don't like it, you know. Try it one more time, and then after that, you're good. Or try it once and say, meh, not my bag.
Yeah, I'm a trisexual.
Three times?
I try anything. Yeah. I'll try anything.
That's...
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, but I wouldn't try that.
Ah, yes, true.
I was thinking you try anything three times, trisexual.
Sometimes. There's some... I won't try...
Three strikes, and you're out.
Right. I won't try anything three times with the same person. Like, if they do it to me once and it's violent or they're not respecting my boundaries or there are people that you get the vibe off of that they're not interested in you having a good time. They're just interested in wailing on you or doing what they want to do.
Definitely.
And doing the dominating work is really, it's taxing. It's hard because you're hyper-focused. You're watching for minute physical signals. Thank you. Because I've had people where... Like, they flinch, and I immediately stop.
So let's get into how the sub can communicate on when things are going too far.
Two fingers up.
Is that yours?
That's general, yeah. Two fingers up. If you're on a cross, especially, two fingers up.
I've seen...
That's one of the things that a top needs to be aware of, and they should be, but... You know, if nobody tells them, then...
Well, you got to work it out before you start playing.
And yes, you can have personal signals, but a lot of times, you know, the reason that you have a safe word that's different from stop or no...
What's a safe word?
Get the fuck away from me. A safe word is a word that or a phrase that you can use in your scene to end it immediately. If something is happening, you're hurt, it's not going the way you need it to be going, it's not feeling right, you can safe word... Or if you're just going so far and you're getting uncomfortable or something like that, you safe word and the play stops immediately. No questions asked. Done.
You can also have a signal, too. If you are...
There's varying degrees as well.
Because some people just shut down and they can't speak.
True enough.
So it's the Dom's responsibility to watch. Yeah. Two fingers.
I would suggest, if you have a safe word, practice it prior to play.
Right. Sure.
So you know...
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just think about, okay, this is our safe word and go into it.
Yeah.
So when my girlfriend and I were first coming to the club, she was really concerned about being here because she's never done this before.
Mm-hmm.
And we developed, okay, there's a safe word. Let's get a safe word. That means you need to get out of that particular scene if somebody's bothering you or if there's, somebody's creeping on you or whatever. You need to tell me that, express that without saying, we need to leave now.
This guy's creeping on me.
Yeah. And just be obnoxious because you don't want to do that. You want to be tactful because some people don't know or they don't know they've rubbed, just by something they said, rubbed you the wrong way.
Right.
And so we developed the safe word. And there was somebody that approached her. I think we were just out on the smoking porch. Oddly enough, it was somebody that we know really well now and is a good friend. But at the time, she comes up and... up behind me and says the safe word in my ear, and it right over my head.
Oh, shit.
It didn't register.
Yeah.
Because we just talked about it, and we didn't practice it.
What was your safe word?
I don't even remember now.
Because obviously...
That's how ingrained it was.
That was a long time ago.
It didn't work.
Well, yeah, it didn't work, and we dropped that practice.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that's happened to, mm-hmm. and, you know, or they'll come up with something like, I need to go get a soda... Or, for example, I need to go get a Sprite when all they ever drink is 7-Up. Well, who the fuck remembers that in the heat of the moment when you've got your dick in somebody? I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't agree.
I got to go get a Diet Coke.
Well, wait. What? Okay. Did you switch?
Coke? Are you watching your weight? What's happening? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep shit.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a thing.
Right. Yeah. So I always...
In the throes of passion, it's hard for those things. Sometimes. If you haven't practiced
them. But it does speak to being... situationally aware as well. It is, you know.
True. And sometimes you can't be. So that's I'm a big encourager of, if you have a safe word, make sure it's a phrase that will get your partner out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly in the lifestyle, because you're not in a euphoric zone for a lot of it until you have an orgasm, usually.
Right.
With BDSM, and I also encourage people to have like hand signals or whatever.
I've seen people holding, especially if they're on a cross or something where mm-hmm. their hands are up in the air, they're holding the coin if it's a hardwood floor or something, that if they drop, there's obviously, they've dropped whatever's in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
That means done.
Stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
That's very beneficial as well. So, how about you? Do you have a safe word for your play partner that you engage in?
I don't currently.
You don't. So what do you have? You've got hand signals?
I have hand signals for attention.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm on a cross, then two fingers up, and she's very attentive to that. And since we have mutually agreed that we are exploring mm-hmm. things, that we don't take it over a certain level.
Threshold.
Yeah, yeah, a certain threshold.
Yeah.
And she knows, she's taken me to the threshold, and she's very good at reading me.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's also very good at, you know, being hyper-focused and being aware of what's happening.
Right.
And that's worked out very well. But we have talked about the idea of, you know, safe words and safe phrases and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Cool. And I have a regular play partner that we do some BDSM play, and we also do not have a safe word right now because we are exploring, because this is the first person that I found that I wanted to do this with.
Are you a dom or a sub?
With him, I'm a sub.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a total sub, and he's a total dom.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no switching that happens. So with Freckles, I was a dom.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no switching there. But you
and
currently,
with Miss Rabbit, I'm a switch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different dynamics. And it's been an interesting exploration as a couple. And I've actually, since talking to other people in the BDSM scene, it's not uncommon for a couple to be married, both be interested in it, and them to have completely separate play partners and not engage in BDSM play together.
Yep.
And I was shocked. I thought I was a weirdo. So yeah. It was really nice to have that confirmation that what we're doing is other people experience it. Mm-hmm. And then there's other couples that they only have the BDSM play together.
Yep.
So it's just what your needs are and what your relationship dynamic is. I had an abusive childhood, so Freckles knows a lot about what I went through, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not comfortable engaging in spanking or that type of play with me because you are concerned about re-victimizing me.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the opposite is true, and I felt like I wasn't getting my needs met because he was, again, controlling what I could do with my body.
Yep.
And, so we're still working through that, actually, and figuring out where we're going to go with it. So,
mm-hmm.
But I'm happy to have him explore with Miss Rabbit. She's a good nut, and she takes good care of him. So
she's a great gal.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I was having a rough moment, emotional moment, at the club one night recently.
Mm-hmm.
And she picks up on things like that.
Yeah.
I wasn't really showing it. She picks up on it, sits in my lap, just talk me through it.
Nice.
And it was like, wow, you were the perfect thing I needed right then and there.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, she's good with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, anything else, guys?
I think we
go slow.
I
just
think
like
we've
everything
beat
else
this
we recommend.
Podcast into submission.
Wow.
Actually, no, that was more of a really light.
Wow.
I felt it was gentle.
Yeah, it was
I
gentle.
I didn't even think we got into...
A little slap, a little tickle.
A little slap, a little tickle.
Gently brush the
bag of tricks.
The nipples
I'm
of this particular...
still new to the whole BDSM thing, so that seems pretty maxed out for me still, so...
Okay.
Oh, dear.
I'm not advanced.
So we should
I'm
not
professionals like yourself.
We're not professionals at all.
True.
At this point.
True.
But we have hung out with some people that... go to the edge of what's considered play in the BDSM community.
Mm-hmm.
So we have education through osmosis as far as that goes and
yeah.
Adjacent, I guess.
BDSM adjacent.
Yeah.
Professional adjacent.
And the cool thing is, it's like we get to hear all these great stories like, dude, there's some crazy shit going on out there
mm-hmm.
that we wouldn't have heard if we'd been judgmental.
Yeah.
So we were just really open to it, and even if it was like, wow, that is so not my bag, and the more you tell me about it, the more I am sure I don't ever want to do that.
That's what I said about
although, you know
BDSM
what?
In general, though.
The yeah. idea,
and then I just, well, something clicked.
The sure. idea of the no thank you bite has really gotten to me. There's some stuff that I have tried
mm-hmm.
that I wouldn't have just like, there's no fucking way. Nope, I am, oh, this is nice. Okay. You know,
like, I'm with you there. You know, so with you.
Yeah, and it's just there's just some things that are just like oh okay, that's what this is about. Oh, because my perception about this particular thing is just as screwed up as, say, the perception that the top is always the person that's in control, and everybody who's a top is a sadist, et cetera, and you're really risking whatever by doing this. And not so. It's all about perspective and understanding. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you know what's happening, you know, you get an idea of something, and you're like, no, I don't. Oh, that's what it. Oh, okay, all right, I'll try it. Ooh, hey, I like that. Mm-hmm. I'll try that again. You know. Nice.
Or you walk away, did I like that or did I not like that? I don't know. I'm too confused.
That's why the aftercare. Probably,
you should probably wait to process it until after you've come out of the drop.
Yeah.
And 72 hours.
It takes
72 hours for your brain to process information, and that can be considered trauma. Now, trauma can be good or bad.
Yes.
So a car accident can be a negative trauma. BDSM can be a positive trauma.
Yes. So what I was just going to say is that... we do, Ms. Rabbit and I do a debrief either right after we've played or very first thing the next morning or something like that. And we talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, how we felt in the moment, how we feel now, and all that stuff. And we both talk about each thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that to be very, very enlightening and very, very therapeutic and very, very good. It's just been, it's like, oh, okay, so.
What do you talk about in your debriefing?
we go through, first we did this, and then we did that, and each thing that we go to is, you know, okay, so I like the way that felt, I didn't like that, that was a little weird, this felt really awesome, we can, let's keep doing that. And it's a way for us to check in with each other to see how one, we're doing with each other,
mm-hmm.
and especially me, since I'm just learning, it's especially helpful for me when I'm topping. Because sometimes I'm like, am I taking that a little too far? Am I taking, you know, and I usually find out, no, I'm not. Just cool. But it's just a way to, it's kind of a really good feedback mechanism. So you can learn from what you're doing and take it a step, either a step further or tone it down or mm-hmm. anything like
Adjust.
That. Adjust. But I have found that really, really, really important. And on the odd occasion when we have not had the opportunity to debrief, it seems really odd and something's missing. And so...
Good. So it's part of your process.
Yeah. And we mm-hmm. try to do it right away. If we can't, like if we're here at the club and something, you know, we're doing something and then we can't really talk about it because we're in a public space or whatever, because it is a very private thing.
Right.
You know, we'll talk about it on the way back to her house in the car. Or... we'll talk about it the very next morning when we get up, and it's like the first thing we're like, you know, oh, debrief from last night. We kind of passed out or whatever.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing really helps.
So really what, awesome. Just to touch on real quick, and then we'll let these people get back to their day.
Did you guys have some typing to do?
Nobody listens to this at work.
No, no, not at all.
aftercare. What did you get for aftercare?
It was actually in this building, and we actually had her on before Johnny Rotten and
D.
Mm-hmm.
She was there, and she actually, because she was managing the aftercare of the year that particular
right.
night,
mm-hmm.
and laid
she
me
does
out
a really good job with that.
Very good job, and I think I had like dark chocolate and took some dark chocolate and juice.
Yeah, I always provide orange juice, water, and two types of candy because sometimes people's blood sugar level will drop,
mm-hmm.
and you need to make sure that you've got basically prepared like you would be with a diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
So I always have that type of thing, and Miss Rabbit also carries candies in her bag. Isn't that
Jolly Ranchers
for you?
Yep.
Water, lots of water.
Yeah.
Should be very hydrated going into it just in general.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So for aftercare, did they cuddle you? Did she stroke your
hair?
She did
it that night.
She did it? Okay.
No. But the second time, which happened about a week ago,
mm-hmm.
and that took things a couple more steps further,
mm-hmm.
as in ropes came out and I got kind of roped up.
Sure.
Even my junk was in like kind of a bit of a vice. It was really kind of weird. Ooh. Odd.
Did it feel good?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I'm getting all flushed here talking about it. And as this is a pretty intimate thing for me.
Yeah.
But afterwards, we sat on the couch and it wrapped me in a big old blanket and laid my head on her breasts. And it's funny because they're sexually charged moments. Mm-hmm. But I don't have that urge and hunger to
knock it
go
out.
Stick my dick in a pussy.
Right.
You know, you don't have that. Afterwards, there's not that. It's just this calming, relaxed, euphoric state that you're kind of coming out of. And
so it's like post-orgasm.
Kind of, yeah.
But does it last longer?
Yeah. So the first night that we did that, it was here, and we slept together in the same bed. And I didn't even think about having sex that night.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird for me to not think about that.
And it puts you in a different headspace.
Yeah, it was completely different. Yeah. And the next morning, woke up, and she thought it was a good idea. And I was still, you're not dropped anymore, but I was still in that kind of sub-universe relationship with her. And she's like, yes, I think it's time to go have sex now. And so we went upstairs and woke people up.
Nice. Well done. Yes. Well done. Well done. How about you? What do you get for aftercare?
Oh, I get all kinds of lovely things. I get the candies. I get snuggles. I get cuddles.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Lots of talking. Yeah. Soothing.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good. That's fantastic. Yeah. I haven't been dropped yet, so I'll let you guys know.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Been doing this kind of play for a couple, almost a year.
Yeah.
And just have not reached the point where I can let go.
Haven't felt that, what people describe.
Nope. And that's okay. We're taking it really slow. I've had a lot of healing from it. Just being more in my own body and empowering to say no, which is a huge deal, I think, for women in our culture, is that we're not empowered to say no. And it's about reclaiming who we were when we were little kids and smarting off. No, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to put my shoes on, blah, blah, blah. And you're not allowed to do that once you reach a certain age. So it's conditioned out of you, especially with men. So, and I'm happy to see the younger generation not having to deal with some of the stuff that those of us in our late 30s and 40s and beyond have had to deal with. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So you go, girls. You go, guys. Continue to make this world a better place. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So where can people find us?
Well, you can find us if you want to email. Oh, we got two more emails.
Oh, tell us about them.
Oh, should I do that right now?
Wait, let's
actually,
save
you
them
know
for
what? I'll save them for the next episode.
Save them for the next one. Yeah.
Okay. So you can email us. The email address does work. TheOFacePodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @TheOFacePodcast. You can find all of our episodes and some other stuff, and we'll put links to some of the resources that Jenga mentioned today at TheOFacePodcast.com.
We've got some special surprises coming up in the next week, guys, so keep on listening.
We got five stars.
got a five-star review.
Our first, and please, whoever this is out there, please.
Oh, we know.
Come and collect your kisses.
You know?
The kisses have been delivered.
Yay.
Yes.
Well, anyways, if you're in the club, please let me know who you are, because should I read it?
Next episode.
Yeah, we'll do a mailbag.
Is it quick?
Okay. Oh, actually, go ahead.
No, it's a pretty good paragraph.
Oh, all right. We'll do it mailbag next time.
We'll do mailbag next week.
All right. Mwah. You guys rock.
All right.
Thank you everybody. So much.
So who are you?
I'm Ms. Jenga.
And you?
Who am I?
I don't know.
It's questionable.
All right.
Captain Jack.
And I'm Freckles.
Stay sexy, everybody.
That looked easy enough. And Joey is going to try it out.
Can I get a check? Check, check. Hello. Hey, that would explain why that's like that. Okay. There we go. Oh, much better. Hey, everybody.
Check me out on the flip side.
All right. Flip side is checked.
Flip, flip, flip. Flippity, flip, 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 flop. Flip Wilson. Flipmeister. Flippin' shit.
Flip, flop, fly. Don't care if I die. Would anyone care to sniff my cock? Okay.
Nice. That's super classy. Super duper.
Perfect. I think that's got it.
Let's do this.
Okay.